Are you indeed the model for Jack Ryan? Is Jack Ryan you?
Jack Ryan doesn't wear bulletproof glasses. Oh, I suppose, you know, an author puts some of himself in every character. But no, I've never been in the Marines. I've never been a stockbroker.
Tell me a little bit about yourself. One thing lacking in the book is any biographical material about yourself, although I see, haven't had a chance to look over some of the data that Peggy sent over, but I know you're 37, you're from Baltimore, you live in Owings, Maryland, you're an insurance man, but I mean, that's kind of sketchy, but tell me a little bit about yourself. Were you born in Baltimore?
Yes, I was born in Baltimore and educated there at two Jesuit institutions, Loyola High School and Loyola College. English major. Been in the insurance business ever since 1969. Married, three kids.
Mm-hmm. I know Baltimore pretty well. I worked at WMAR-TV in the early and mid-60s for about 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Channel 2.
Didn't live too far from where they are now on York Road. Were you with them before
yes.
they moved to York Road?
No, I was there. They had just opened up that studio.
Yeah, right by Johnny Unitas' place.
That's right. What was
the
that
Golden
called?
Arm.
Black Angus or something?
No, the Golden Arm.
Golden Arm, that's right. Yeah. I had an apartment almost across the street. There was some garden apartments. And then later I rented a brownstone. What was it called?
Calvert Street?
No. Well, I did move down to Calvert Street, not too far from Johns Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
And but subsequently I rented a house in Baltimore County. It was a row house, but it was
Lock Raven Village?
Lock Raven Village, I believe that was what it was
That's
called.
Where we lived then, in 71 and 72 and part of 73 on Cottage Lane by Calvert Hall.
Yeah, these were very modest houses, three-bedroom houses.
You should say what they're selling for now.
I think that when one came on the market back in the early mid-60s when I was there, I think they ran $8,000, $10,000, something like that.
Now it's more like
$80,000. It was all right. It was a nice little community. The problem with the houses is that they were so poorly built that you could hear from the next house.
Really?
They had neighbors on either side. They were both milkmen for some reason. And they had kids. I don't know why milkmen seem to have so many kids, but the kids would storm up and down the steps, you know. We could feel the house shake in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You were an English major, but you turned to insurance. Out of desperation?
Well, I was scheduled to get married in August. I graduated, you know, of course I graduated in June. I was scheduled to get married in August. That was the first decent job offer I had. I wanted to be a writer all along. The trouble, of course, is that writers generally die poor. You got to do something to support yourself. And the imminent marriage pretty well decided that. So I went to work for the Hartford. I was recruited for one of their management programs. And we spent a year in Connecticut. And then back to Baltimore. And 6 months after that, the Hartford wanted to move me to Davenport, Iowa. And with all due respect to that town, I just got my father's Colt tickets. And the Colt tickets were more important. Of course, that's another obsolete fact now.
That's moot.
Yes. So I went into the agency side of the business. In 73, we moved to where we are now. It's Wanda's grandparents had an insurance agency, which they invited me in. And we took it over in 1980. And 2 years after that, a couple of circumstances, really a matter of random chance, came together. And I decided that I was going to write this book, and took about 6 months of budgeting my time as carefully as I could, and neglecting the kids, and I did it.
Had you been writing prior to the start of this novel, Red October?
Just dabbling. I had an article published, and that's it, really.
Mm-hmm. Were you ever in the military?
Never.
You had a lot to learn, didn't you, as you tried to write this novel?
Not as much as you might imagine. Military operates on a fairly logical basis, and so it's just a matter of thinking logically to get inside their heads. There are certain personality traits that I had to research. You know, what sort of a person goes to sea in a ship that's supposed to sink? And, of course, the technology. But really, the people were the most interesting part of this. I've gotten to know a lot of people who drive submarines for a living, and they're fascinating people. The real breakthrough in understanding them was I had lunch with a fellow who reviewed the article I got published in Naval Institute Proceedings. And he spent 2 hours, of course, telling me sub stories, because if you're a sailor and you don't tell sea stories, they take your uniform away. And I came away with the impression that the guys that drive submarines for a living are the same as the people who drive the space shuttle. When they wake up in the morning, they look in the mirror and adjust their halos. They think they can do anything. And I just realized, hey, these people are interesting. And now I need, if I can research the facts, which turned out to be relatively easy, I can write the book. And I did.
Is there some precedent in history?
Yes.
With regard to a Russian vessel seeking to defect?
Yeah, the book is based on something that really happened. In 1975, a Russian frigate, in practical terms, a missile-armed destroyer, named the Storoshevoy, attempted to defect from Riga, Latvia, to the Swedish island of Gotland. The story is actually quite interesting. It took place in the early hours of 8 November 1975. The previous day, November 7th, is the day the Russians celebrate the October Revolution. The changeover is because of the switch from the Julian to the Gregorian calendar back in 1918 or so. Now, because of the previous day's celebration, virtually every officer aboard the ship was passed out drunk. The mutiny was led by the ship's zampolyit, the political officer, a fellow by the name of Valery Sablin. Now, ordinarily in the Soviet Navy, the political officer is the third-ranking officer aboard the vessel, after the captain and the executive officer. Sablin, one other officer, and an unknown number of petty officers simply locked the other officers in their staterooms, slipped the lines, lit the engines, and left the dock. Proceeded down the river from Riga out into Irvin Sound, I believe the name of it is, the Gulf of Riga, and got within about 60 nautical miles of Swedish territory when they were stopped. And it was only through a really bad case of luck that they were stopped at all. Of course, the Sablin and the mutineers were taken off. We know for certain that Sablin was shot. And with an unknown number of other co-conspirators.
It's relatively easy to find out the workings of the American military. Most people tell me that the military is usually willing to assist writers, journalists, researchers.
They're the most helpful people you could want to meet. If you're halfway fair to them, they will bend over backwards to help you.
But the Russians, there you had to fill in a lot of gaps, I would assume.
Yes, well, there are a lot of books about the Soviet Union and the Soviet military, if you care to find them. Norman Palmar's Guide to the Soviet Navy, Harriet Fast Scott's book, The Armed Forces of the Soviet Union, John Barron's book, MiG Pilot, about Viktor Belyenko, the guy that brought the MiG-25 into Japan in 1976. The data is out there if you care to find it.
Tom Clancy, you've written a page-turning thriller here. Is this the type of book that you yourself likes to read?
Yes, I love thrillers.
Mm-hmm. Who are some of your favorite authors?
Mainly Brits. Frederick Forsyth, Jack Higgins, Richard Cox. I suppose you could say that I thought maybe an American should try something like this. Because this is mainly a British genre, and they're awfully good at it. So I thought maybe somebody on our side of the ocean should try it.
There's another interesting aspect about the hunt for Red October, isn't there, with regard to who published it?
Well, this is the first work of fiction by the Naval Institute Press, and that was also a happy accident. I was having lunch in, it was October 28, 1982. I remember the day because somebody crunched my car that day. With the editor who had edited my article. And the reason I had lunch with him is because I had about 300 pages written up, and I wanted a professional to look at my work and see if it was worth proceeding with. And when I told him, you know, what I was doing, that I didn't want him to look at it, he said, well, why don't you submit it to us? And I said, well, you guys don't do fiction. And he said, well, we just started to. And we went from there. He looked over two chapters. He liked it. And at that point, I just I restarted the manuscript from page one and delivered the completed first draft on February 28, 1983.
I am not the Naval Institute Press. Is that indeed an arm of the Navy?
No, the Naval Institute is a private society. Its headquarters is on the grounds of the Naval Academy, but that's just a matter of coincidence, really. It's a private organization that's been in existence since 1873, which publishes mainly nonfiction and technical works relating to maritime affairs.
Mm-hmm. And so this is very unusual for them to come up with a work
of fiction. It's the first one. They're broadening out their activities.
It looks like the response to the Hunt for Red October has been pretty good. Are you now a celebrity in Owings, Maryland?
Insofar as I wasn't already.
Of course, an insurance man knows everybody in town anyway, doesn't he?
Yeah, I don't know whether that qualifies as notoriety or not. I really haven't thought in those terms. I'm the same guy I was 1, 2, or 10 years ago. And
what's next for Tom Clancy?
Well, we have another book in the works on a similar subject. But we're just that I'm just getting started with now. It's going to be a joint venture with myself and another individual who's a naval analyst and a wargaming expert. And there'll be a few more after that.
More submarines.
Yes.
It's going to be. You're going to adopt the submarine.
Well,
issue
not entirely. I'll be trying to branch out also, but the next project will be on a naval subject matter.
Tom Clancy, thank you very much for coming in and talking to me. Just sorry that I got here so late, but I was glad that I was able to ask you some questions and find out some more about yourself and how the Hunt for Red October came about. Thank you very much.
You.